Today on Real Radio.
A friend of mine gave this message before. I mean, not this message. He said kind of the same thing and wound up getting two broken ribs after service saying it. I understand this kind of message generates emotion.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're hearing a mini-series taken from chapter 7. It's called God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. The Apostle Paul explains the benefits of being married or remaining single and how God can use believers in both situations. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called God, Marriage, and Divorce.
Number two, if you're married to a non-believer and that spouse says, I'm done with your Christianity. Now, let me insert this. Are you guys listening? Again, you're so quiet. I get nervous when you're quiet. You can't say, well, man, now that I accepted Jesus, this is awesome. And I'm still married to this woman who drives me up the wall now, and I think I'm going to create an environment where she'll want to leave. First of all, God knows your heart. God knows your motives. Yeah, but Pastor, there's a lot of cute girls or a lot of cute guys at church, and they're Christians, and doesn't the Bible say you're not supposed to be unequally yoked? That does not apply to you. You're already married. Can you imagine accepting Jesus? Jesus comes into your life and you go home and you say, hey, kids, sorry, I got to go. Your dad's an unbeliever and now I'm a believer. Jesus came into my life, so the marriage has got to end. Are you crazy? That's absolutely the opposite. Yes, okay, if the non-believer wishes to depart. The third thing is the one that's the most famous, and it's tragic. Oh, golly, my wife committed adultery. I guess I have to divorce her. Bible says there's no divorce acceptable to God unless adultery, except for adultery. I got to divorce her. You guys, that verse is not a cover for you to go get a new model. That verse is there when you've exhausted every bit of reconciliation and you cannot make it work. And you can try to pull the wool over someone's eyes, but the truth is, God knows the motive. Adultery is not an automatic jump ship, get out of jail ticket. It's when reconciliation has been exhausted. Please, please, if this fits your life, make your marriage work at all costs. It's a physical witness. Next thing, point number two is verses 14 to 17. Why is marriage under attack today? Why is it under attack today? Because this. It's under attack because marriage is God's ultimate calling for a family. Listen, just like marriage, just like church, just like government, God has defined what marriage is all about. Marriage is God's ultimate calling for, here it is, family. Family. The scripture says if an unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. What's he saying? That God so honors, watch this, marriage, that even if in a home there's a believer married to a non-believer and they've got kids, this verse is amazing. First of all, what it says is God's covering of grace and favor is over this house, including the non-believer. What it doesn't say is, because your wife is saved, doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You're blessed and you receive the blessings of God because you have a saved spouse. Did you hear that? Well, my wife's going to heaven, so I can live like Hades and go to heaven. No, you're not going. You've got to come to know Jesus too, but your home will receive the benefits because your husband or your wife is a believer. Okay, it's very important. And your children are protected by God. That's an amazing thing. You see, some of the Corinthian believers had married non-believers, and this question had come up. The word sanctified here means to become special, to become set apart, to become, listen, I love this. As you look into the definition, it gets more exciting. To become protected, blessed, covered. We get the word, it's a hybrid. We would say in English, the kids, the family, the home becomes graced by God, favored by God. Listen to this. Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable among all. God says, I love marriage. I bless marriage between believer and non-believer alike. But watch this. And the bed undefiled. That's amazing. A lot of pastors, what I'm about to say, they freak out over this, but that's because of their denominational persuasion, not because of the Bible. When marriage is sanctified by God among all, that's believer and non-believer, God says that the sexual activity of that marriage is blessed by him if you're a Christian or not. That's how much he believes in marriage. Isn't that amazing? But just keep it within the marriage. You're never supposed to take that outside of marriage, God says. You say, well, who says? God says. Well, who's he? The designer of marriage. What do I care? You're going to stand before him someday. It's best you be standing in the right spot. He goes on to say, listen to that same verse, Hebrews 13:4. He says, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Yikes. Fornicators or fornication. Listen to this, everyone. Fornication can only happen between two single people. Two people sexually active together outside of marriage, God says, is fornication. So what's the big deal? People today say, well, we're just practicing for our future. We're just sampling, you know, we're compatible with our checkbook, we're compatible, we like the same food, we like the same sports, we thought we would try it out to see if we fit. You fit. God made it so, okay? Look at the design. Hello, it's obvious. You don't need to test drive that. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual event. And you ought not to be doing it. Here's the thing. God says this. Fornication, it ruins your ability regarding your future marriage. It messes things up. I have never once, ever, I've been in full-time ministry for 20 years, or almost 20 years. I've never heard someone ever say, you know what? We are so glad that before we ever met each other, we were just out, I mean, we were just sampling the town. It was, you know, it was like the combo play that we were just, I've never, ever heard a man say, you know, before we got married, I'm glad that she was out all around town. I've never heard a woman say, oh, it's been great. He had so much practice before we got married. I've never heard that. This is locker room stuff here that's a reality. I'm telling you, never once. People, young guys boast, oh man, you know what? Oh wow. Listen, this is serious. You are messing up your brain and your mind about a future monogamous relationship with your husband or your wife. Say, man, what planet did that guy come from? Didn't I open this message by saying your culture, my culture, has invaded the way that we think? That's exactly what I'm talking about. What is it? Is he teaching abstinence? I'm kind of laying it down kind of hard, I thought. Yeah. Yeah. And when you get married, no more abstinence. How funny is that? Well, I'm not going to be abstinent. Boy, I'm single. And then you get married. Okay, abstinence. You know what you're supposed to do, right? If you're married, you wrestle as often as possible. It's a spiritual thing. For those who go here, they know what the word wrestle means. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Ladies, never forget this verse. He gave himself for her. Every man in this room right now who's married, you're to lay down your life for your wife. Men often think, Lord, I come before you and I give you my wife. I pledge my, Lord, I pledge my wife to you now. fully 100%, not your wife, it's your life. You're to lay down your life for your wife. Why? That's what Jesus did. What's the model? Jesus laid down his life for the church. Men are to do the same thing. And men have all their arguments. But she doesn't, and she never has, and she... Just keep going until you're blue in the face. And when you're all done, then we can get somewhere. It's not about you. That verse in Ephesians says, Ephesians 5:26, that he may sanctify and cleanse her. Watch, listen, husbands. Especially if your marriage is on the brink. How about trying sanctifying your wife and cleansing your wife? How? How do I do that? By the washing of the water by God's word. If she won't listen to you, start praying the word of God into her life. I know that sounds kind of corny, but it's true. You just say, Lord, I'm asking you right now to pour forgiveness into her heart. God, I'm coming to you, and I have just messed up this marriage. I've been an absolute bonehead. I've been a terrible husband, and I don't fault the fact that she hates me. But Lord, right now, if there was ever a place for a miracle, it's this marriage. And I'm asking you, God, please, to cause your spirit to take the word of God into my marriage. Lord, invade wherever she's at right now. Hey, listen. If she's in the arms of another man, you pray. I'm not joking when I tell you this. And for some, we've prayed in the foyer this very prayer. Dear Lord, this woman's husband is wayward, and he's with another woman. And Lord, I ask you right now that you'd heal this marriage, that you'd bring them back together. And I'm serious. And God, I ask you that the next time he gets near that other woman, that he would get sick, vomit. I'm not joking. Cause him to get sick, cause him to vomit, cause him to look at her in a whole different light, cause him to run away from her. In Jesus' name. I'm dead serious about that prayer. And so, you know, if you don't want me to pray for you, then I understand that. Secondly, under this point, marriage is God's chief setting for peace. Marriage. He says in verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. Let him or her depart. A brother or sister is not in bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. This might shock you to learn, and this is a bitter pill to swallow. It's a hurtful thing emotionally. But listen, there are two theological camps. One has almost no evidence behind it, and the other one does. Listen carefully, you guys. If the unbeliever departs, the word means the unbeliever in your marriage is leaving. What's the next word? Yeah, let him. But Pastor, aren't I supposed to fight for my marriage? Of course you're supposed to fight for your marriage. But the Bible says in the part of the fight is if the unbeliever wishes to depart, I'm out of here. I can't take your Christianity. I guess I need to say this. Somebody remind me where I left off. I'll mess this up. Remember how I said earlier, you can't create an environment where your unbelieving husband says, gosh, you're crazy, get out of here. Because you have another motive. Equally true as this. You can't say, I'm sorry, honey, but we're not having dinner tonight because I have to go to a prayer meeting. Oh, I'm sorry, sweetheart, but the men's ministry or the church cleaning ministry or the missions ministry needs me, and I can't be there to help you move the furniture tonight. Did you know that's a sin? That's wrong? But Pastor, to be with my unbelieving wife versus a prayer meeting? I'll give you one question, and you only have one answer available. Which one would God have you do? Exactly. He's not interested in your prayer meeting. He's interested in your marriage. You say, yeah, but I'm married to a lunatic. Listen, your wife probably thinks the same thing about you. Ministry can never override your marriage. Ever. It's the chief setting for peace. Your home is to be that place. Listen, James 4:1 says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure?" And he's not talking about having your fingernails done or your, he's not talking about that. He's talking about dominance. Doesn't war happen because of your desire to dominate? The answer to that is yes, it does. James 3:14, he says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual, it's even demonic, it's of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." Think about that. Is your home unified? Is your home godly? Well, the reason why it's not is because there's selfish ambition going on in somebody's life, and there's unscriptural conduct. The wisdom of your home is earthly, and that makes it devilish. Verse 17, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, and impartial, and sincere." Who would not want to live in that home? I'll live in that home. Who would not want to live in that home? That's a beautiful thing. But here it is, listen. "Let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace." It may very well be, if the unbeliever wishes to depart, that the meaning of this is that when the divorce takes place, that man or that woman who's been abandoned, they are free to remarry. He's going to tell us pretty soon, next week or next month, whenever we get to it. He's going to tell us that person's free to remarry, but only in the Lord. That means you can remarry if you've been abandoned and there is no adultery involved in this, or it should say on your side, you, God says, are free to remarry, but you have to marry a believer. And that's very wise, because Jesus says, "What fellowship does light have with darkness?" And that's very important. We'll end this point and pick up the third point next week, but we'll end it right here. Verses 16 to 17, marriage is God's primary mission field. And this is pretty self-explanatory. He says, "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk, and so I ordain in all the churches." This is an awesome statement. You guys, you need to circle verse 16 and 17 with your, in your margins, draw an arrow back to verse 15, because this is quite remarkable. It has been understood, and it sounds good, "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband?" The context is based in verse 15. Verse 15, 16, and 17 flow together. This is a profound statement. Listen carefully. This verse does not mean when your unbelieving spouse wants to depart that you board up the door, you throw yourself behind the tires of the car, that you say, no, I can never... They serve you with divorce papers and you say, "I can never sign these. I can never do this because God hates divorce." Yes, God hates divorce. But the Bible says if the unbeliever wishes to depart, let them depart. Isn't that, this is very sobering to hear, you guys. If they're bent on leaving, you need to trust God, pray for them, keep praying for them, but let them depart, because what you think is a positive is actually a negative. The context says, wife, let him depart, because how do you know if you'll ever win him to Christ? Isn't that an amazing statement? You've been taught to look at that differently. Never grant the divorce to the man who's leaving me, the unbeliever who's leaving me, because I'm going to hang on there until he gets saved. That's noble, but it's not biblical. You say, but what if he demands that he leaves and he brings me the papers and he wants me to sign them? You need to make sure you're protected. And let me insert this. It's free. If you have babies involved in this divorce, oh, you're not going to like what I'm going to say. But if I say it privately, if you come into the office, if I can't say it publicly, I shouldn't say it privately. And if there's anybody in this room thinking on getting a divorce, you've got one up your sleeve. If your husband and your wife comes to me and says, well, I've got custody of the kids, or I'm going to have custody of the kids, the kid factor changes part of the argument. According to the way I understand the Bible, if someone is desiring to leave this family, if someone commits adultery on you, or the unbeliever says, I'm out of here, you, mom or dad who have the kids, you better defend your home in the interest of the Lord and those children. And when I say that, you say, what are you saying? I'm saying do every fight you can to gain custody of those kids because you want to raise them in the ways of the Lord. And listen, when a man says, hey, I'm leaving you, I got some other chickie on the side and I'm out of here and I want half of this and half of that. Listen, I don't care so much about stuff unless that stuff translates into your ability to take care of your kids. And I'll put it to you publicly. I'll probably get in trouble for saying it, but if you come to me privately, this is what I say. If your husband's leaving you and he's got his little chickaroonie on the side and he's dumping you and the kids, I'm going to give you these names to these attorneys to defend your home. Because if it was just you, sweetie, I would just say right now, just turn and walk away and let God take care of it. But because you have three little ones, I'm going to ask you to go for the throat. Can you say that as a Christian? Listen. Do you know the burden that this church is under constantly for men who run out on their home because some girl's got a shorter skirt at work? And the kids are now abandoned, and the mother has to come to the church and say, we can't keep our water on. We can't keep our light bill on, all because this guy is out playing the town. Let me tell you something. If that upsets me, I can't imagine what's going to happen to that guy on the day of Christ. Because he's abandoned his home, he's abandoned his kids, all for pleasure. And you think God's going to let that slide? You're fooling yourself. So I tell her, listen, the laws were created, the Bible says, for the righteous. You have been done injustice against you. If you are alone, no sweat, just walk away. But you've got babies, and I want to see your kids not only in school, but why don't we send them to Harvard? And he's going to pay for it. A friend of mine gave this message before. I mean, not this message. He said kind of the same thing and wound up getting two broken ribs after service saying it. I understand this kind of message generates emotion. I'll just say this in ending. It's hard to kick against God. It's time to surrender. I tell you right now, make your marriage work.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul explains how and why it is the will of God for married couples to remain married. The title of today's study, God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in case you're wondering, we do offer this series called God, Marriage, and Divorce on DVD. In fact, it's a 4-DVD set. You're going to like it. God, Marriage, and Divorce, subtitled The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. And our offer, for your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, that's right, any amount, we'll send you this 4-part series on DVD, God, Marriage, and Divorce. The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. It's a 4-DVD set, and you are going to like it. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button right there on the right that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you could write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact is real easy to find right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.